What I'm trying to say is, if the words sound queer or funny to your ear, a little bit jumbled up and jivey, sing Mares Eat Oats and Does Eat Oats and Little Lambs Eat Ivy. Ivy, Ivy, Ivy. Who's Ivy?
What?
What? Oh. Hi there, I'm Ken Hanke. And over to my right is Justin Souther.
Who I was going to point out
that this is Justin Souther, the brand new member of the Southeastern Film Critics Association. It's only taken forever, but he is now a member, full-fledged, and that means, among other things, he won't be borrowing my year-end screeners because he'll have his own.
Probably get mine before you, too.
Possibly.
Because you're in Black Mountain.
I can't help that. You know, so.
And I should point out, it's Ken's birthday.
Yes.
He's 97 years old today?
No, I am 57 years old today, and I feel 108. So.
Ken's 108 today. We've brought him upstairs in his iron lung.
That's true. Ken and Lisi Russell call you on your birthday and sing happy birthday on the... Okay, then. Nah. And we are in...
Cinema Lounge at the Carolina
Cinema Lounge,
Asheville.
Carolina, yes.
South Asheville.
South Asheville. And we've been in the movies and we're Elitist Bastards and we're going to share...
You.
Our exciting observations
regale you in excitement
with the rest of humankind.
You're going to be awash in excitement.
I don't think
I'm trying to
think
of the appropriate bird, dinosaur, or horse joke, but I'm not sure which one is the right one to make because she's not quite as horse-like as Hilary Swank.
That's just because her teeth are smaller.
I don't know, if you go look at that poster.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, they're smaller. They're smaller. They're still smaller.
She's more bird-like.
She's had that groat removed.
Because Rex Reed made fun of her.
Is that why she did it?
I'm assuming. I don't know.
It's like he just noticed it?
That was in his Sex and the City review. He was had a paragraph about the growth on her face, and then...
All of a sudden it wasn't there.
Yeah.
Kind of like it disappeared like the thing on Ewan McGregor's forehead did. Yeah.
Maybe it was Malignant.
It certainly looked it.
Speaking of Malignant.
Yes.
I don't know how she does it.
I don't know how she does it.
What does she do? Exactly.
She made a bad movie.
Well,
one of a series of bad Sarah Jurassic Parker movies.
Well, that should be pretty easy. I know how she does it.
I don't. Except for the Sex and the Shoe Store movies, none of these things make any money. I don't know how they keep giving them to her.
Well, she's a star-ish.
Ish.
Because of Sex and the City.
This was... I believe this may be the absolute worst of the films of hers that I have slogged my way through. I can't think of anything that was...
Sex and the City was longer.
Sex and the City was...
The second one?
The Sex and the City was... They were longer.
I think you've forgotten how bad those movies are.
That may well be. Plus, I didn't have to write about them.
And
but I didn't have to write about them, and that probably won them some points. So.
Does this one have an elaborate Mexican shit joke?
No, it did not. And I think it would have probably benefited from that. This is a dumb movie. It's all about Sarah Jurassic Parker trying to balance her career as an investment banker with a heart of gold, yeah, right, and her family life with Greg Kinnear, who is mostly out of work during the film, and their two adorable small children.
If he's out of work, why doesn't he just take care of the kids and she works on that?
Well, because he's trying to find work. He spends a lot
you
of time.
You can do both of those
things.
Well,
I can't help it. He can't. Not in movies, you can't.
I mean, you can get a sitter if you need an interview.
Well, no. So they have a nanny, and then she also has a hot... She has a hot business associate that she's doing a deal with, which is Pierce Brosnan, who really should know better than this sort of thing. And the whole thing is you know...
He was in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes. Well, that's true. I guess he has always had a proclivity to be in crap on occasion. It's not pretty. It's not funny. It's not romantic. It's not even got a plot. It's a sitcom. It's a sitcom bomb. It has tanked. Boy, has it tanked. This is one of the... If it weren't for Bucky Larson, this might be the major disaster of the year. I think Bucky Larson, however, has rewritten the history books for movies that failed dismally at the box office. This one, on the other hand, deserves to fail dismally at the box office. And it has. It just hasn't done it nearly as spectacularly. And, of course, it all works out in the end, and everybody's happy except the audience.
And Kim.
And I was not happy. No.
We're talking about Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, God, I hate her. I can talk about her. Her face looks like a foot.
This is my wife, by the way.
Give us a proper introduction so we have a...
Would you like to introduce yourself?
No.
To the
no.
internet?
Would
this
you
is,
like...
This is my wife, Laura Marie.
Hi.
Who's brought me dinner.
Yeah, you should bring me dinner.
I'm sorry, do you like Indian food?
What?
Do you like Indian food?
Maybe. It would depend.
You can have some of my sloppy jai.
No, that's okay. I don't quite know what that is, so.
It's like a sloppy joe, but kind of spicy and with little fries.
Okay, well, let's move on to Sarah's Key.
Well, Sarah's Key is a much better film. Much better film.
Which was it was described today by one patron here at the Carolina as that movie about that woman hanging out in France.
Yes, well, that's certainly...
Is that what it's about, Ken?
No, it's... Sarah's Key is a very convoluted movie, actually. It's a... Kristen Scott Thomas...
So it's more than her just hanging out.
She isn't even hanging out in France. I mean,
it's
you know,
more than, like, her on spring break.
Yes, and... No spring break hijinks, no.
Okay.
And she isn't mistaken for a pop star, and she, you know...
Okay. She doesn't get drunk and...
No. No, It's Kristen Scott Thomas, and she plays an American journalist. And yes, she can do a credible American accent. And she's in France and has been assigned this story because she's a quasi-expert on when the French police under the Pétain government rounded up about 8,000 Jews and put them in really bad conditions and then ship them off to camps. And I mean, the Nazis were no worse than the French were in this case. And then they shipped most of them off to Auschwitz, which that was pretty much the end of them. And while she's researching it, she starts to realize that her husband's ancestral apartment must have been taken from dispossessed Jews. And that's when she starts researching the story of this young girl who, through a series of events, ends up not dying in the Holocaust. And it's really, it moves back and forth between 1942 and the present very smoothly. And that I have no problem with. What I have a problem with is it has this dumb subplot about pregnant Kristen Scott Thomas and her husband, who doesn't want to have the child, and she wants to have the child, and should she get an abortion, or shouldn't she get an abortion? And this is just really undynamic up against concentration camps.
Is it trying to draw a parallel between concentration
camps? If it does, it doesn't succeed.
That's what I was about to ask, yeah.
You know, if it does, it does not really succeed. I mean, that may be what the idea was, but it just seems like there's this grafted on drama, and I don't know that it was necessary. It kind of took me out of the film, and then it also had an ending involving this situation that was like, what? But I can't really address it because if you haven't seen the movie, it would be getting into spoiler territory.
Do you recommend the film?
Yes, I do recommend the film, even with the flaw. I mean, and some people will not even see the flaw. Some people will think it's fine.
I guess I should identify. This is Steve Shanafell, your producer.
Yes, well.
Always like to make sure that that happens. Well, don't get confused. So there.
Shanghai Steve.
I got a new one.
Yeah, he's called you Shanghai Steve now. And I told him it took more than one man to change your name to Shanghai Steve.
Do you want me to talk about Beats Rhymes in Life? Is that what you're pointing
yes.
this thing in
my face? He's tried to tell you there's not much point.
Well, it's gone by
Friday.
So this is your chance.
So if you hear this by then, and you're really dead set on watching this movie, you should probably go do it.
And if you've seen the Coen Brothers remake of The Lady Killers, this will clue you in on what the song is that the elderly black woman is complaining about. The I Left My Wallet in El Segundo appears to be by this group.
Yes, A Tribe Called Quest. The whole film is about A Tribe Called Quest, who were big in the late 80s, early 90s hip-hop scene. It's more of socially conscious kind of music.
I never heard of them, but that's fine. I haven't bought an album
the
since
movie,
the last
one. Well, if you
would
watch the movie, you would...
You would know.
You would know.
The drummer is on the Jimmy Fallon late night show, right?
Roots.
Oh, I thought...
That's Questlove.
I get the... I thought it was a documentary about the Roots for like a week before. I get them mixed up. I probably shouldn't.
No. No, I think he's in the movie at one point.
Questlove?
Yeah.
I like his hair.
Hey, somebody from the Cheeksters wants to be a Facebook friend and send me their new album.
You should have gone to see this movie, because it would have helped you answer the question, can I kick it? You would know.
Can you kick it? No. You can't, Steve. Sorry, I've known you long enough to say without a doubt.
Steve can kick it.
I can.
No. I don't want to kick it.
Well, you're certainly allowed.
That's what you think now. Wait till we all start kicking it. Then you're going to feel left out.
We'll see.
It's your birthday. You can kick it if you want to.
Is anything like it's my party and I'll cry
yes.
if I want to?
It's your party. You can die if you want to.
That's true, too.
You can do
yeah.
You want.
Nevertheless, the movie tries to catch you up to speed with what's going on and then turns into a behind the music sort of foray into arguing and bickering, except it's really lame. They never really get into why nobody likes each other other than they've known each other for a long time, which I guess is reasonable, but there's no meat there.
Ugh.
The big dramatic center point is one guy has diabetes, which is a serious disease. Like, I'm not going to deny that. But they turn it into, oh, he's addicted to sugar, which on the scale of like popular music, yes, addictions, is pretty low.
Just don't make you Eric Clapton.
No. So,
do they address the fact that you need sugar for your body to work?
Well, he has diabetes and he's addicted.
Still have to have a certain amount of sugar. When they first gave me the...
No, but he's going over his limit.
Oh, okay.
He has to get a kidney transplant at one point.
You see, when they first told me that I was in the early stages of it, I just stopped my sugar intake altogether for about a week and I thought I was going to die.
Okay. Maybe you could learn from this film how to...
How about no?
I mean,
need a new
you
kidney.
Could also watch that Jonas Brothers movie if you need to research any further about how to deal with your diabetes.
No. No and no.
So, if you like the band, you probably like the movie. I have no opinion on them, so I really can't say. I mean, I was just kind of bored. It really didn't do anything for me.
I was kind of seriously not interested, which is why you sat through it and I didn't.
Yeah. So it didn't do much for me.
I noticed you gave it 3 stars, though, right?
Right.
So it wasn't a bad film. It's just not.
No, it's just, it's there. And it's not worth the praise that it's getting from a lot of critics. I don't understand that.
Because they are terrified of not being with it by not being all about hip-hop. Don't you understand?
I'm terrified of being with it. So therefore, thumbs down.
I was listening to Rod Stewart on the way here, so I'm like way out of the loop.
Speaking of which, I watched The Brothers Bloom this morning.
Good movie.
Yeah, I've spent the day watching movies I actually like. I saw It and Tommy and
Sir Henry at Rawlinson End.
And were you doing this to make up for the experience of watching Straw Dogs? Check out my transition there. That was pretty good.
Nice.
Well, yeah, it was a nice transition. That was a really nice transition, you know.
Thank you.
I think it even had a 5-speed. That was a 5-speed transition.
So, Straw Dogs.
Synchro mesh, yeah.
Better than the original?
No.
Question mark?
No. Straw Dogs is an abomination.
I have a question. Why did they remake it? Is it just one of those things that they...
Because they could?
They could?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because they thought they would turn it into something worthy of people paying money to go see. Because they were going to move it to America, which actually causes certain problems with the foreignness of the English setting, which is no longer there. Now we're in a rural South. That's right. It's Straw Dogs meets Deliverance.
Oh no, that's worse.
And then they cast James Marsden, who when last seen was being the Easter Bunny, and so it was kind of like, you know, the Easter Bunny versus rednecks, and the whole film is just it's not good, and they took out the ambiguity and the frontal nudity. It sucks.
Do you see rear nudity, though?
Yes.
Okay. So you have that going.
You have that. You have backle, but no frontal.
Okay.
Backle
nudity. You have some backle nudity.
And so can we...
The back butt.
Can we revisit the premise of Straw Dogs very quickly? What happens?
Timid gentleman and his wife move back to her hometown where they are terrorized by yokels and or raped by them. And
they might
then
have been.
There's a
all of them.
Well, they don't all get raped. And then there is a subplot involving a mental defective who kind of does the Lenny on this young woman, and the locals want to take him out of the interloper's house. And this is when he decides to stand his ground and, you know, defeat the...
Throw boiling water on him.
And, you know, put somebody's head in a bear trap, you know, which if they could work that into, I don't know how she does it. I would pay good money to see Sarah Jurassic Parker's head in a bear trap.
Can't fit her head in a bear trap.
That's probably true, but you could try. You get part of it in there.
Her nose.
So you don't recommend the film?
God, no.
The only way this movie could be dumber if it was about actual dogs made of straw. They had thought that
might have been better.
Okay. It's about a young man who makes dogs out of straw.
And this is a wholly preparatory thing. where they've got a 67 Jaguar XKE that someone, for some unknown reason, has welded a hood ornament onto that belongs on a Jag saloon. It's never been on one of the sports cars, at least not one of the ones from the XK120 forward. It's explained in the plot how this happened. I don't know why. It looks dumber than hell, but I guess we get to see the redneck shoot it off with a gun, and I think that's supposed to be a defining moment.
They
blow his car up.
Oh.
But you know, he says it's been.
You might have raped my wife.
He claims his car.
Car
he claims he paid $100,000 for this car. Nobody in their right mind would pay $100,000 for a car that has been bitched up. I mean, that hood alone is going to devalue it considerably
Ken
because it's
far
not original.
More upset about the Jaguar.
I am actually.
Than he is,
you know,
the
I mean,
film
you don't.
Made.
You know, don't fuck with me on British sports cars.
Ken would rather be raped by yokels than have them fuck up his Jaguar.
Kind of depends on the yokels.
You're right.
Kind of.
Well, we're going to do Point Blank anyway.
When I saw that, I thought it was Gross Point Blank, and I was like, oh, I have seen one of the movies. That was good.
This is the French version.
Yeah, this is not the John Borman picture with Lee Marvin, if that's what
you're... Or the... She's talking about the...
Yeah, doesn't know what I'm talking about.
The gross-up point.
John Cusack.
Gross point blank. Yeah. John Cusack.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, it's good, Ken.
I've seen the John Borman picture. None of them have anything to do with this one.
So you guys want to talk about that?
We're already talking about it, Steve.
So we might as well talk about Point Blank since we're already talking about Point Blank.
Dive in.
It's an absolutely smashing French thriller.
I told someone it was in French today, and they said, oh, that sounds fun.
Yes, well.
And then he went to watch Sarah's Key, so I'm sure he will
have a fine day.
He had to deal with not only French, but French and German and Yiddish and English, too.
This is the same person that said Drive was the worst movie he's ever seen.
Yeah, well.
Which we will get to later. But until then, we're talking about
Point Blank. I mean, there's not a lot to say about Point Blank. Point Blank is a really fantastic, fast-paced thriller. It's intelligent. It has characters that you care something about. It's about this nurse in a hospital who more or less inadvertently saves the life of a low-rent gangster, which then gets his gangster buddies to kidnap the nurse's wife, very pregnant wife, and give him 3 hours to get their boss out of the hospital. So he has to kidnap this not entirely ambulatory gangster and get him out of the hospital and try to get him to the place where his wife is being held, which keeps changing because the cops are after them and the cops are after him and the gangster. And it's all done in the space of 84 really tight, exciting minutes. So, I mean, I had a great time with this film. I can't
imagine.
Pretty
much.
And it is violent, but it's surprisingly not gory.
Well, it sounds like everything that American thrillers don't do.
Yeah, plus you can follow the action. That's a big plus anymore.
Right. Well, this guy's other film got remade into Next 3 Days.
Yeah, I know.
Which was long as hell. I don't remember how long it was, but
3 days.
It felt like it.
That's not the title, it's the running time.
Yes. So I find that this is the way.
So in any case, I mean, you know, Point Blank is very highly recommended. Speaking of action thrillers, I understand you saw Drive.
Yes.
By the unpronounceable director.
I'm wondering if it's Winding or Winding.
The long and winding Redfin.
I want to say it's Winding.
It's Winding.
It's probably Vending.
Vending Refn.
A vending machine, yeah. Okay. Whatever. Yes. Anyway, tell me
the
about
the director
this.
Of Drive.
Tell me about this existentialist movie.
You say it's a action thriller.
Right.
Which really isn't true.
No, you said it was an action thriller. I just copied what you put down.
Okay. Well, sort of.
I think you put existential action thriller.
Yes.
Okay.
There's action in it. Some thrills, but if you're going into this looking for a Hollywood action film, you're going to be sorely disappointed, like the gentleman earlier. I'm assuming this movie's going to piss off a lot of people, which is part of the reason I like it so much, because it's not a movie made for a lot of people. It's made for
elitist bastards.
Yes, right. It's made for
user-friendly.
It's
sounder.
Made for movie nerds to sit around and talk about and.
Yeah, you're going to have to tell me about the John Hughes thing at some point.
Because I read an interview with him where he was talking about he's always wanted to remake Pretty in Pink, and this is his version of Pretty in Pink.
Okay.
Drive is his version of Pretty in Pink?
That's what he was
at least it's not Home Alone.
It's also his version of Pretty Woman.
Well, that's
more understandable.
Titles with Pretty in it.
It is, on occasion, a very pretty film. There's a very nice scene where they're driving through the L.A. River. That's very sweet. I mean, there's these... It balances between being sort of sweet and romantic and then being extremely brutal and violent and disturbing and unsettling. I'm amazed, and I want to thank Film District, this is their third film, I think, being put out. For not knowing better than to put this out in wide release.
They put out Insidious. And they put out this. What else they put out?
And
something else.
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Oh, okay.
Was them.
Really?
Then they haven't put out anything I didn't like.
Right. There was absolutely no reason for this to go wide, and I love them for that because
they don't know it's not 1975 anymore.
Right, yeah. Which is what this movie reminds me of. It's one of those things where it's like, there's not an audience for this. Somehow they've made almost the budget back on it already.
Well, because they made the budget back because it's got Ryan Gosling in
they've
it.
They made the budget back or they the grossed poster. The budget back.
It cost $13 million.
Yeah.
And they made $11 million over the weekend.
No, they grossed $11 million. They got to make twice that to make the budget back.
Well, I mean, they'll make it back.
Oh, yeah.
Still, they somehow...
Ryan Gosling's in it.
It's got a really good cast. And the cast is one of the...
Oh, yeah.
There's not a bad...
A good cast.
Yeah.
Carey Mulligan.
I love her.
I normally despise Albert Brooks, so
he's
it's just...
good in this.
Okay.
He's very good in this.
Well, he's not trying to be funny. That's got to be in his favor.
No. And he's almost funnier when he's not trying to be funny.
I can understand that.
It's a good role from performance by Ron Perlman. Everybody's good in it. It's got a great cast. It's got this really interesting score. I don't know if you'll like it because it's all synth music, but it suits the film really well. It's got a great opening.
Okay.
It's extremely gory, which I'm sure you can appreciate.
Is it playing tonight?
Yes. 7:15.
7:15.
But I would recommend it.
It's going to bail on us to go see this.
I would recommend it solely because it's the most ambitious thing I've seen all year. It's the most...
You think it's the best thing you've seen all year?
It might be. The more I get to thinking about it. I don't know if you'll feel the same way because I feel like it's more a movie made for a 20-something-year-old dude than... Mr. Ken Hinckley.
I have never thought of you as a dude,
well,
but okay.
In this case. But it's the most...
It's like the last word that comes to mind when I think of Justin Souther is dude.
Except bro.
That would be even a little further afield.
Elitist bros go to the movies. It's going to be April Fool's, I think. Nevertheless, it's the one time where I've felt like I'm watching filmmaking this year. Like,
okay.
Somebody who's... Because somehow he's managed to still, like, even though this is a Hollywood film, he's still in control of it.
What you're saying is it's better than Drive Angry 3D.
Infinitely. Though it's even got some of the sort of, like, it's much more serious in nature, but it's way more violent than that movie.
That's pretty violent, you know.
Not so much in, like, amount, but in... what happens. It's pretty
The violence
nasty.
Is more upsetting.
Yes.
The violence in Drive Angry 3D is not meant to be upsetting.
No.
It's
but in sort
like
of like
Hobo
a,
with a Shotgun violence.
Yeah. But it's, I mentioned in the review, it's sort of in that Cronenberg kind of way where it's really detached and it's just like, it's there. I kept thinking of A History of Violence, that opening scene where the guy gets hit with the coffee pot. I would recommend this film.
So, like, is there an audience? Like, can it find an audience with people?
It's gonna be
who
like
go to watch action movies, but are
I think
know,
so. I think it's
like me. I like an action movie, but I also have a brain.
Right. Yeah. I think there is an audience for it. I don't. It could be one of these movies where somebody that's never seen a movie like this gets turned on to something completely different.
That's entirely possible. That makes it worthwhile. That was one of the good things about the old days when all the stuff played multiplexes, where, you know, people saw things that they otherwise would never have gone to see. It's like they don't know what an art house is, and they're not going to go to one.
But there's not, like, any one thing in it that's super weird, like, or where it goes completely weird. It's just strange little touches. Like, there's one scene in this dressing room of a strip club where all the girls are just sitting there with no expression on their face. And it's never really explained why they have no expression. It's very sort of surreal in that respect.
That sounds Lynchian.
Yeah.
It does sound Lynchian.
There's a part where near the end where he has this mask on, which is really no reason for him to have this mask on, except it's just weird looking. Like, when you really think and dissect it, it's like, nobody, you don't need a mask on at this point. Everybody knows who you are, but... it's just sort of odd. And so there's little touches like that, the way it's
well, you sold me on it if I can figure out when to go.
You know?
Yeah. kind of tied up for the next several hours here.
But I would recommend it. It might be, for me at least, the best thing I've seen all year. It's at least the most ambitious.
What?
And I think if you're a fan of film, you should give it a shot. Unless you're really disturbed by violence and don't bother with it.
Oh, piffle, I'm not.
Do you know what you're pitching it against as far as, like, best movie that you've seen this year?
It's pretty much between that, Midnight in Paris, and 13 Assassins for me.
Oh, well, those are all wildly different. So.
Right. But, I mean, just...
left out Submarine.
And Submarine. And Submarine's slightly below them.
Submarine was the romantic, quirky comedy.
Yeah.
Sort of like a Welsh Rushmore.
Yeah, it was fine.
Welshmore.
I liked it.
Yes. Welshmore, yes.
Welshmore.
But I would... Drive as far... It's just like filmmaking. I don't know what's... impressive to me. I think it's worth watching. It's worth
I'm going to try and see the damn thing before it disappears.
It'll be gone soonish, I guess, maybe? Yeah.
Before Hollywood ruins another European director, perhaps.
Oh.
Well, I'm sure they'll
watch. I think they would have with this, probably.
I tried to watch Let Me In the other night.
The new one? Oh, yeah, that's boring.
I wanted to watch Let the Right One In, and then I remembered the copy I bought from Hollywood Video.
It was the
dubbed
one with the bad... Oh, the dubbed one.
Really?
There's also a bad subtitled version.
I'll take that over a dub version.
Yeah, but it's but there's a good subtitled version and there's a bad subtitled version. And unfortunately,
no, the bad subtitled version, the subtitles is just the dub translation. So it's not even really the right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I think that's what I have. And unfortunately, I loaned my screener, which had the good subtitles, to someone who managed to drop a shelf on it and cut the DVD in half.
Ken's going to eat his birthday surprise in front of us.
That's right.
While we talk about the Thursday Horror Picture Show.
That's right. And the
Which is a treat for everyone else.
What is it?
It appears to be a chocolate sundae or a hot fudge sundae.
No, I want
to
know what's playing on Thursday.
Oh. What's playing on Thursday is... Where's it playing?
It's playing in the lounge at the Carolina.
That's right, at 8 o'clock.
Which, if you haven't been here...
You're missing
out. Why, yeah.
Yeah, why haven't you?
It's about to be, like, October.
Exactly.
The best
time
season
to watch
of the year.
Even people from Australia and Toronto have been here. If you're local and you haven't been here, for shame. Anyway.
We're showing Dr. Fives Rises for real.
That's right. Dr. Fives Rises Again. I'm still waiting for Dr. Vibes Rises Again. It says something to do with Lionel Hampton. Anyway, this is a Vincent Price picture, and it's more campy than scary, and it pretty much is...
Much like us.
Yes,
more
that's right.
Than...
And it pretty much is the... It's just a continuation of the creative death and campy dialogue and from the first film. The biggest difference is that it's not quite as well produced, and the first film had Joseph Cotten as an adversary for Fives, and this one has Robert Quarry, who, among other things, we're supposed to believe Robert Quarry is in a relationship with a woman, tee-hee-hee, and he's just not as dynamic an actor as Cotten, so, I mean, that's a downside, but there are some wonderful moments in it, and it's fun, and it's fast, and it's been restored to its original ending, which for a long time was not on video, and I won't tell anybody what it is in case they haven't seen it and they're coming, because you should have the experience of seeing the ending. It has to do with a song.
Is it Yakety Sax?
No, it's not. I will say no more.
Okay. And what do we have Tuesday?
Tuesday we have The Ruling Class. Now here's a
Which
film
is,
you've seen.
Well, yes, but we should also mention that why are we showing The Ruling Class? For whom? Why? What reason? Actual Film Society.
Oh, that. I thought there was supposed to be some reason that I was unaware of. That we
because
were,
we have good taste. That's why.
That's why we're showing it, yes. It's the Actual Film Society.
Yeah, the reason.
Yes, that's
the
why.
Other reason.
And we are showing it at 8 o'clock in the Cinema Lounge, which is the same place that we are showing the Fives film, which is the same place that we are now. You could
which
conclude that we spend a lot of time in this particular place.
Yes. Nevertheless.
And if you've never seen The Ruling Class, it has what is probably Peter O'Toole's finest performance as the 14th Earl of Gurney. The film starts with the 13th Earl of Gurney giving a speech, going home, relaxing by wearing a cocked hat, a ballet skirt, a sword, and recreationally hanging himself, which unfortunately he kicks the ladder over and expires, which leaves his son, Jack, who is O'Toole, to inherit the title and the lands and all the money. And there's only one small problem, and that is that Jack thinks he's Jesus. Now, they can't break the will, otherwise it all goes to charities. So the plan is to get him married off, get his wife pregnant, get a male heir, and slap him in the loony bin. There's an alternate plan going on about trying to make him sane, quote, like the rest of us. Some of it's very funny, some of it is very vicious. Actually, even when it's funny, it's pretty vicious. And some of it is downright terrifying in the latter half of the film. And there's really nothing quite like it. And I highly recommend it. It's one of my three favorite films.
Let's talk about the upcoming films, which are here.
Which we were just discussing. What am I watching this weekend?
You'll hate me when I tell you what I hope it is.
What do you want him to watch?
Is Dolphin Tale the movie about the dolphin that doesn't have a flipper and...
Yes, but he's already told me that I have to watch it.
He made me watch the one-armed surfer movie.
Is that why I have to watch it? Okay, I couldn't remember.
I have...
Which is why I said you have to watch the one-finned dolphin movie.
My mom and I saw a commercial for it on television when I was home last, and we both started crying.
Maybe you should...
She can watch it. Can...
I'll watch it.
You can pay me for it.
Wait...
I'll buy you something nice.
Okay,
anyway.
I want that in writing if I were you.
So what we have Point Blank, which opens.
I'll be much kinder to Dolphin Tale than either of you ever would.
That's probably true.
Anyway.
We have Point Blank, which we've already talked about. We have the Dolphin Tale movie, which is the stirring saga of
a really sad dolphin.
A dolphin that loses its tail and gets a prosthetic one from Morgan Freeman.
Wait, it's not a real movie? I'm less intrigued. I thought it was about a real dolphin that had a prosthetic.
It is. And the real dolphin with no tail plays the dolphin with no tail, I do believe.
Okay. I was confused by the
It would be kind of rude to
Freeman.
Chop off the tail of a dolphin just to have him in this movie.
I think so.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And what else do we have? We have...
Abduction, which is about Taylor Lautner's stomach.
That's right.
Oh, God. That sounds
And
awful.
That's one that you're watching, by the
okay.
way.
Well, I liked the last... I don't have anything against John Singleton. I enjoyed
Four
Brothers.
Like Four Brothers. I liked Four Brothers, too.
So that Fast and the Furious movie he made was pretty awful.
It was.
So, I'm assuming...
Baby Boy wasn't real great.
I really don't like Taylor Lautner. I think he's funny looking.
Sorry.
And just, what?
You know,
I almost said something
hot.
That was...
I think he's shaped like a thumb.
He looks a little downsy.
He does. I would have
Please
said
don't put that
I would have
in
said
it.
Gay, but he does look downsy. There's something wrong with him. I'm concerned.
He's...
Well, after this weekend, when Taylor Lautner proves...
It's like the... You can get
that
those things on the webcam.
New Marlon Brando.
You can get those things in webcams where they squish your face.
But he actually looks so more like... He's the new Corey Haim.
Well,
with a better body.
Perhaps this will be an action-packed thrill ride for those people that went to see Drive and wanted to.
It looks like Hannah with a guy. You know, that's all in the world it looks like. What else we got? We've got Killer Elite, which is not a remake of The Killer Elite by Sam Peckinpah. There's just mania for, you know, having films with the same title, it seems.
Which is going to be, I feel like, based on the cast, is the best potential. And it's probably going to be
It's probably going to be a huge steaming pile.
I know.
But I'm still curious about it.
Making these gray, murky action movies.
Yeah, but it does have Jason Statham. It does have Clive Owen.
Clive Owen with a mustache.
Yes, it has Robert De Niro, who, you know, of late hasn't really been exactly distinguishing
himself. But, I mean, if you had made this the right kind of movie, these people have all been in... Jason Statham has been in cheesy action movies.
And he's been in good movies. And he's been in good movies, too.
Right.
So
you... I mean, this kind of action movie...
This could be good. It probably won't be.
No, it looks boring. And then we have Moneyballs.
Yes. Which is...
I'm trying to think of a testicle joke, and it's coming up.
You can't think of one?
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah, when you see Brad Pitt, you don't think testicles?
Oh, he's in it? I'll go see it.
Yeah. Brad Pitt.
In baseball.
Oh,
in baseball.
No. That looks like... That just looks like another old...
It apparently is going to make...
Movie.
It's going to make... baseball and statistics interesting and entertaining,
yes.
They claim.
This is what... It's a book... It's based on a book about advanced statistics and how to run a baseball team. Even though that baseball team now isn't very good 10 years after the fact that they were supposed to have revolutionized everything with sabermetrics and stuff. So it really just... I don't see what
I've seen Elmer the Great and Alibi Ike. I don't think that probably qualifies me, though.
I don't know. I remember watching the preview and thinking, at the very least, this may not be the worst inspirational
sports movie.
I'll
understand it and get it. I don't know who the audience for this is, though.
People who like Brad Pitt.
Baseball,
I guess.
They keep telling you in the reviews that you don't need to like baseball. So,
they told me I didn't need to like A Tribe Called Quest. But they lied.
True. That's
they
true.
Lied to me.
That's true.
Yeah. No, I think you have to at least be able to watch a game of baseball to enjoy it.
Though you
at least, unlike most sports, I at least understand the game of baseball. So that's kind
you
of my thing.
You understand football?
No.
It's easy.
I look down and I have no idea what these people are doing. They're fighting over this ridiculous ball that is absolutely worthless for anything except fighting over it.
You got it. Now they just got to stay
it's
on one
metaphor,
side of the line.
It's an allegory.
Yeah, it's an allegory for the tribal, basic, primitive instinct
in
America.
It makes a ton of money.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of money.
Does baseball make money?
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, baseball
that's
makes money.
That's
that's what they want.
Money balls.
Yeah, so. Anyway, those are the...
Brad Pitt sells his testicles.
Those are the exciting things that are opening this exciting week.
Yes.
Yes.
It's...
This is all that's coming out next week. Sorry.
Oh, and we forgot. Do you want to mention the other one?
Mardi Gras? If you want to. It sounds dreadful. I'm sure it is dreadful.
Mardi Gras?
It's a four-waller. Nobody cares.
Nobody's going to see it.
What is it?
It's a four-waller.
Three dudes in college, you go to Mardi Gras and shit on themselves and get drunk.
There's a feces bomb goes off in a hotel lobby.
Carmen Electra's in it.
Everybody
they break into Carmen Electra's
in
room.
Kill yourself.
And they get involved in disgusting sex acts. And
get raped by yokels.
Wearing feathers.
And do you really want to...
They've had an awkward conversation with Dave Navarro. Really bad.
What's that guy's name? Josh... Gads? Gad?
Gad?
I don't know. Which one's he?
He's
the pretty
fat
one?
Guy and he runs around naked.
He was in Bucky Larson, which is all I know about him.
Okay, well he was in something that was higher profile than Bucky Larson, but I can't remember what it was now. Might have been Love and Other Drugs.
Okay. Yeah, he was. He was like the wacky best friend.
Yes.
When are we going to stop laughing at naked fat guys for no other reason than the fact that they're not funny?
I think we did. This movie's
too
stupid to
realize. The movie industry has not figured out that we aren't laughing anymore.
Somebody must be laughing.
Yeah, somebody
they
must
are
be.
All the way to the bank.
It's kind of like all these people that are just absolutely convinced that nothing is funnier than a black guy in a fat suit.
He's the highest paid person
just giggle a little.
In film. Do you know that?
Tyler Perry?
I was thinking more of Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy, who have also... donned the fat
they
suit.
They have, haven't they?
But Tyler Perry has raised it to an art form.
Yes, it is an art form, because he has the cheesiest fat suit of
which is
all.
Obviously the funniest.
Yes. I've made peace with my inner Tyler Perry, though, so I don't, don't have the same problem.
He's the sassiest of them as well. That's
right.
What do you
he
say?
He's the sassiest.
Let's have an all black guys in fat suits podcast next week. I feel like let's discuss.
We will discuss the socio-political ramifications of fat guys
in skinny suits.
In skinny, oh no, of black guys in fat suits.
Next week.
Now, are we including?
It will be. Incredible.
Are you going to have a parallel, like, sub-theme about black guys in fat women suits? Like, in fat suit drag?
Because that's always, a big...
They
that's
almost
a big,
always are always. In fat suit drag.
What about that Clumps movie? Weren't there dudes, too?
Oh, yeah.
And he was in all of...
Yeah,
and
but he was everybody. It was
and there was also a movie
scary.
Where he got
But that's
really
where they
fat
figured out that the funniest part was him as a woman. And then Martin Lawrence was like, oh, I want this to be a woman.
I'll roll with it.
And then Tyler Perry was like, Jesus. And then, what's next?
There is no answer. It's
blackface, fat suit, woman.
Well, that's what that's
possible.
What
I'm gonna be. That's what I'm going to be for Halloween. Blackface, fat suit, woman.
You must come by here.
Sure.
With that, I think we can set it off.
I think I've had enough. I don't, the audience can take no more. I can pretty much guarantee that.
Signing off from Ken's birthday.
That's right.
As
happy birthday.
To you.
Justin and I could sing happy birthday to you if you really want to turn off the
He already got a good happy birthday.
Yeah, you want to hear Ken and Lisi Russell sing happy birthday on the phone?
I do. Can we hear it?
Yeah, I don't think you can hear it.
Let's find out.
Let's try it. I do have a speaker on this thing. I don't quite know how it works. But.
Saved message.
Can you hear it, folks?
Happy birthday, Ken.
That was pretty exciting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that is
your
cool.
Speaker might come on the next time you use your phone, by the way.
Oh, wow.
But you hit that button.
Whatever.